Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry presents Lessons from the School of Suffering. A young priest with cancer teaches us how to live. Written by Father Jim Willig with Tammy Bundy. Father Jim Willig courageously began to record this audiobook, but when the demands of cancer overwhelmed his strength, he asked his friend, Brian Patrick, to complete the reading. Brian touches our hearts as he finishes chapter 1 and continues reading this extraordinary journey of prayer.
Chapter 7, Examination Week. Jesus said, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Luke 24, verse 26. This year I experienced the Lent of my life. During that pre-Easter season, I became so ill from chronic diarrhea, a side effect of chemotherapy, that I had to be admitted to the hospital, suffering from severe dehydration. I lost 10 pounds off my 155-pound frame within a week. There actually was a point in my hospital stay when I was so weak and in such misery that I wasn't sure if I would survive. It was then that I realized when we face the reality of our death, we begin to understand the greater reality of eternal life and how this life is simply a preparation for everlasting life. But still, it's very hard to let go of this life. And thanks to the wonders of God and modern medicine, along with my wise oncologist and the caring nurses, I didn't have to let go of life yet. Finally, after I had spent 12 long and difficult days in the hospital, which totally tested my faith and patience, I was allowed to go home. It was a day I will long remember because it was Holy Thursday. I was far too weak to celebrate Mass by presiding, but I will never forget being there. The parishioners didn't know I had just been released from the hospital. I weakly made my way into the sanctuary to sit down at the 7:30 p.m. Holy Thursday Mass. My surprised congregation erupted into applause as they stood up to welcome me home. I will never forget what their love taught me about the beautiful meaning of Holy Thursday. This was the very night that Jesus longed to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples. As I sat absorbing all the love around me, remembering how I desperately had longed to be back with my parishioners while I was in the hospital, I had but one thought. This must be what Jesus felt for his disciples. This is the very love the Lord invites us to share whenever we gather around the Lord's table. The next day, I was still too weak from those 12 days in a hospital bed to preside at Good Friday services, but I was grateful to be able to attend and sit through the service. At one point in this service, after reading the Lord's Passion, everyone in church is invited to come forward to touch, kiss, or in some way reverence the cross. I was asked to be the first to do this. Slowly, I walked to the cross, and gently I kissed the cross. Immediately, tears welled up in my eyes. As I returned to my chair, I began to observe others process forward to embrace, kiss, or bow before the cross. And I continued to cry. This whole procession took about half an hour. Tears of emotion poured out of me the entire time. What was it that made me so free to share my tears in that way on that day? Why am I crying like this? What is going on in me, I wondered. I had never cried like that at any service in my parish, except perhaps at a funeral. And then it became clear to me. This cross of Jesus was becoming so real to me. In fact, it had become the focal point of my life. This cross that I was asked to kiss was a cross that I both dearly loved and yet despised. This cross was my cancer. I was still struggling to accept it as the way I would follow Jesus in his suffering and very possibly in his death. I had just spent 2 weeks of hard and bitter suffering. I felt as if I was being told not just to accept the cross, but to also embrace and kiss the cross. All the while, I just wanted to trade it in. "Can we talk, Jesus?" I wanted to ask. "I'll take anything but this cancer. Anything." By the way, why do we call Good Friday good? What's so good about all this? I knew that the only answer was yes or no. The question was, will you go all the way with me? I was crying because it hurt so much to say yes. I knew that was the only answer I could give, but it hurt so much. So that night, I prayed for God's strength to help me carry this cross wherever it would lead me. And once again, I surrendered my life entirely into God's hands, trying to imitate Jesus on his cross, who uttered a loud cry and said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Luke 23, verse 46. When I saw my parishioners kiss the cross as well, I was reminded of the heavy crosses they also carry. I then prayed for each one of them, and as I prayed for them, I began to understand that their cross would also be their way to grow closer to Christ and to learn how to surrender their lives to the Lord. I realized that night that I have attended over 40 Good Friday services in my life. Of those, I have led over 23 as a priest, but never have I participated so actively, even though I had to sit through the whole service. The day before Easter Sunday, Holy Saturday, I felt a bit stronger, but I knew I was not strong enough to preside or preach at the Easter Vigil service where we received 27 new members into the church. The only thing I had the strength to do that night was to lay my hands on each one of them and confirm them with the gift of the Holy Spirit. It seemed so providential that this was all I was able to do. Since these last few months, I had become painfully aware that the gift of the Holy Spirit is how we find strength in our weakness. That evening confirmed in me the realization that the more aware we are of our weakness, the more open we can be to the Spirit being our strength. The next day, Easter Sunday, I felt strong enough to both preside and preach at Mass. This was the first time I had been able to do this in quite a while. I was able to tell my parishioners what I believe is the great mystery and paradox of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. I confess that this was the hardest Lent of my life, but for that reason, it led me to my best Easter ever. I preached, "After every Good Friday, there comes an Easter Sunday, for we can never experience one without the other. We have to die with the Lord in order to rise with the Lord. We have to suffer with the Lord if we want to share the glory of the Lord." I felt the Lord was doing this in my very own body and life in order that I could share that with the whole church. Those words about dying with Jesus that I had been led to when I had cried out to the Lord came back to me now. I knew I was experiencing the death of Jesus. I was reminded that the dying of Jesus was taking place in me so that I could experience the life of Jesus. As I shared this good news with my parish, I could tangibly feel their spirits being lifted up too. I realized that our risen Lord wants to continually raise up our hopes and our hearts. His Spirit raises our spirits, as he forever reminds us, "After every Good Friday, there comes an Easter Sunday." I will never forget that Easter. It was my greatest Easter ever. Whatever we surrender to the Lord gives back. Whatever we offer up to the Lord blesses us 100-fold. What I want to say to every suffering person is that suffering never should be wasted, never. The worst thing that could happen to us is not that we would suffer, but rather that we would waste our suffering or simply endure it. Instead, we should grow from it and learn from it and let it unite us to the Lord. After Easter, I knew I really needed a retreat. I usually try to take 2 retreats a year, one after Christmas and one after Easter. I usually take 5 days for this retreat. So I made plans to visit the Abbey at Gethsemane, a Trappist monastery in Kentucky. I arrived disappointed. I was already a day late from trying to catch up on my workload from my time in the hospital, and I needed to return a day early for my scheduled chemotherapy session. I had only 5 precious days, and already it was cut short to 3. I cut right to the heart of the matter in my prayer. I said, "Lord, My time here is short, and I so badly need to be revived. You know I have been through a very tough time. It took so much out of me. Yes, I had a wonderful Easter Sunday, but Lord, I need more to revive me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I arrived at Gethsemane on a Tuesday afternoon. On Wednesday morning, I went to early morning mass with the monks. One of the priests read the gospel story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. As soon as he started reading this, I started choking up. Something was beginning to stir deep within me. I had always loved this story, and lately it had reminded me of Father Michael and me, but I had no idea why it was now touching my soul so deeply. Soon I was fighting back tears and feeling self-conscious about letting the monks know I was losing control of my emotions. I knew enough to know that I had to go pray about it the first chance I had. I went to the chapel. It was time to talk to the Lord about all that was going on in me. Lord, I began, what's going on here? Why is this affecting me in this way? So many times we forget that step. So many times, especially when we suffer, we forget to find out why something affects us in a strong way. I have learned that if something touches us deeply, there is a reason for it that may not be immediately obvious. It is vital to reflect on this more deeply and ask for God's Spirit and understanding. I looked up the verse that had struck me so strongly at Mass, Luke 24:13-17, and I began casually reading along. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" The story goes on to explain how they were shocked that he appeared not to know what had just happened. They then proceeded to tell him about the events of Jesus' certain death, but questionable resurrection. What struck me first about this part was a line one of the disciples spoke referring to Jesus' untimely death. "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." That line really moved me because I had faced that feeling over these last several months, dealing with my own dashed hopes and dreams in light of my terminal disease. I could truthfully tell the Lord that I had been hoping that I was going to be a great priest and live a long life. I wanted to be a preacher and pastor who would inspire many people. But now I wanted to ask Jesus, "Are you just going to let me die now?" With that connection to the story, the words written on the page for me began to come alive. Suddenly, I was one of the disciples having a heart-to-heart talk with Jesus. As I imagined myself walking and talking to Jesus, it became very clear to me that this walk, this journey, was my journey with cancer. Like the two disciples, I was feeling terribly discouraged. When they talked to Jesus and said, "What do you mean you don't know what's been going on here?" and Jesus told them to tell him about it, I started to actually take over the conversation. I said, "Jesus, do you know what has been going on in my life lately? Do I need to tell you? Do I need to break this down for you? Do you know all that I've been through?" And just like his response to the disciples, he responded to me by saying, "Well, tell me." So then I began to tell Jesus what had been going on in me. It is interesting to note that I knew deep inside that Jesus already knew what had been going on in my life. But like the perfect counselor he is, he knew I had to say it. He knew I had to get it all out. And boy, did I get it all out. Losing track of time, I cried. Never before had I been so prone to tears. But here I was, letting loose the deepest pain that had been bottled up in me for a long time. I let out feelings that I had never before let myself feel, much less express. I said things like, "Do you really care about me? Do you care what I feel? Does it matter to you that I'm going through this? Does it even matter to you that thousands of people are praying for me? Does this make any difference?" I was amazed at what was coming out of me. This was raw, uncensored prayer. It was deep, heartfelt prayer. Although I tell everyone to pray this way, heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord, it is not easy to pray this way. But this time, I had really let loose. I continued venting to the Lord. I said, "The truth of the matter is, I do believe you are with me, Lord, but I don't know what difference it has made. Can you tell me what has changed? And why didn't you let me figure out I had cancer before it had spread to my lungs? You say you help us out, but I would think you would have told me earlier that it was time to go to the doctor. It isn't like I'm hard to get in touch with. We spend time together every day, praying." I just let it all out. "And why is it that every treatment I have taken hasn't worked? And why did you let me go through those horribly difficult treatments when you knew all along they would not work?" Even I was surprised at what was coming out of my mouth. These were things I had never before let myself think, let alone say, because I had always held firm to the belief that God is a good God and is always loving and helpful, and we shouldn't be angry at God. But now I was angry, and I told Jesus things I never thought I could say, because it was indeed everything I felt. It was everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It was as if I was throwing up. It just kept coming. I told God things that I felt that I had never known before I even felt. This went on for 2 hours. I honestly thought my eyes would run out of tears. Only then could I manage to stop long enough to ask, "So, Lord, do you have anything to say for yourself?" What came into my mind was that the Lord was responding to me by saying, "Yes, you need to take a break. Then come back, and we can continue this conversation." I knew that was a good idea. I was emotionally and physically drained. I had said everything I possibly could have said. I had no more words or energy. So I went back to my room and wrote in my journal what I had just experienced. Writing down our thoughts and feelings, especially when we are hurting, is vital to healing. Then I took a nap. I slept for an hour and a half. When I woke up, I felt refreshed. I washed my face and took a little walk. While I was walking, my mind focused on what had just happened. But trying to pull my attention away from these deep thoughts was a sharp pain in my right knee. My knee had been acting up for quite a while. I pushed the thought of pain aside, though, as I walked back to the chapel. I couldn't wait to hear what it was the Lord would now tell me. I went into the chapel and I said, "Okay, Jesus, it's your turn. Go ahead and tell me honestly whatever it is you want to say to me." I was half afraid to hear what it might be. I was moved to pick up the Bible again. I realized that I had never gotten past the first half of the Emmaus story. As I read the next part, I began to focus on the presence of Jesus, imagining again that I was walking and talking with him. I also imagined Jesus starting the conversation with me by saying, "Thanks for what you share." Wow, Jesus was thanking me. After all I had said, he responded with, "Thank you." He had been waiting for that because he knew I'd been holding it in for so long. He knew it had to come out. I just wasn't expecting such a compassionate response. Then, as I read the story, I too could imagine Jesus was saying to me what he said to the two disciples. "What little sense you have." And at that I said, "What do you mean?" I realized that Jesus was simply saying, "I don't have this greater understanding of life and this all-encompassing view of why he lets things happen in the world." This is when I felt him directly answer me in the scripture. "Did you not understand that you had to undergo all of this so as to enter into my glory?" I asked what that meant. He said, "You had to go through all of this first." He then made clear to me that there were many ways that I could have suffered and died to myself, but he knew this was the best way, this way of the cross, this cross of cancer. In my ongoing reflection, I felt Jesus explain to me, "Jim, you know you have a strong ego and a lot of self-confidence. Some of it is healthy, and some of it is not so healthy. Because you like to be in control, you know how you like to have things your own way. All of this must be purified if you want to share in my life and love. Just as you understand that no one lives and still goes to heaven, so too must you understand that in order to live in me, you must die to yourself. Jesus continued, Don't you see how all of this has really humbled you? Don't you understand that all of this has brought you to a point of complete dependency on me, where you learn what an infant child you are before me? Jesus explained it in a way that all of it seemed right and good. All of it happened for a greater purpose. I thought, my God, this is incredible. Everything I said was the most horrible thing that could happen to me, and you are now saying it is all the best that could happen to me? My attention was then drawn to Jesus on the cross, and I understood. Jesus' passion and death, indeed, the worst thing that could happen, turned out to be the best that could happen. The worst moment in human history became the greatest moment in the history of our salvation. Only then could I truly understand the great mystery and paradox of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The killing of the Son of God became the redemption of the whole human race. The hour of total defeat and death and disgrace became the hour of God's greatest glory. So now I understand why we call Good Friday good, and why all this that had happened to me was also for the greater good. This was a lesson I had to learn. I could only learn it by experiencing it, by sharing in Jesus' cross. This was a lesson I will never forget. Unfortunately, though, my lessons in the school of suffering were far from over. I was only beginning to listen and learn. Lessons. After every Good Friday, there comes an Easter Sunday. The worst suffering is wasted suffering. The Lord wants to help us with our cross. The Lord wants us to share in the mystery of His cross and resurrection. It is important to have heart-to-heart conversations with the Lord. Assignment. Allow your suffering to teach you. Allow your suffering to help you grow and unite you to the Lord. When you pray, have a heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord. When you pray, listen to the Lord in the ways that He may respond, for example, through people, Bible, experiences. Keep a journal of all your thoughts and feelings. Prayer. Prayer for union with Jesus. Come to me, Lord, and possess my soul. Come into my heart and permeate my soul. Help me to sit in silence with you and let you work in my heart. I am yours to possess. I am yours to use. I want to be selfless and only exist in you. Help me to spoon out all that is me and be an empty vessel ready to be filled by you. Help me to die to myself and to live only for you. Use me as you will. Let me never draw my attention back to myself. I only want to operate as you do, dwelling within me. I am yours, Lord. I want to have my life in you. I want to do the will of the Father. Give me the strength to put aside the world and let you operate my very being. Help me act as you desire. Strengthen me against the distractions of the devil to take me from your work. When I worry, I have taken my focus off you and placed it on myself. Help me not to give in to the prompting of others to change what in my heart you are making very clear to me. I worship you. I adore you. I love you. Come, dwell in me now. Amen.
Heart to Heart welcomes you back next week for another inspiring chapter from Lessons from the School of Suffering. If you are interested in purchasing a copy of the full recording of this audiobook, either on CDs or through digital download, or a print copy of the book, or other resources available through Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry, please visit our website, www.htoh.us. There, you can sign up to receive more inspiring content delivered to your inbox. Or call us toll-free at 1-877-208-4875 with any prayer requests you have or other help you may need. And please, as always, keep us in your prayers as well. Donations of any size are also greatly appreciated to help support this ministry. This audio recording is copyrighted 2023 by Heart to Heart Catholic Media Ministry. Thank you for listening, and may God bless your heart and the hearts of all of your loved ones.